Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the regular meeting of the commission, February 8th, 2023. The public may listen to the meeting in real time by following the instructions listed on the top of the commission's meeting agenda currently posted on the commission's website. In addition, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. For the benefit of the public, particularly those who may be listening to the meeting by telephone, I will take a roll call so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Commissioner Barry. Commissioner Einhorn.
Here.
Commissioner Fizeshi.
Here.
Commissioner Hankins.
Here.
Mr. Streeter.
Here.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, present. Similarly, when the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission meeting of January 25th, 2023. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the commission's regular meeting minutes of January 25th, 2023.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll conduct a roll. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. I will call the docket. If you wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when we call it, and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. First item is docket number FIC 2020-0597, Jan Golic versus Commissioner Shute, Chief Police Department, City of New Britain, Police Department, City of New Britain, and City of New Britain. Is Miss Jean or Jean Golic there, please?
Yes, it's Jan Golic.
Jan.
I'm present, and I would like to be heard on this docket number.
Okay, we'll mark that ready, sir.
Yes.
Attorney
John Dykin, present for the respondents.
Say that again.
Attorney John Dykin, D-I-A-K-U-N, representing the respondents.
Thank you, Attorney Dykin. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0345, Jan Golic versus Angel Quiris, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al.
I am present, sir, and I'd like to be heard on this document.
That's Mr. Golic?
Yes.
Attorney LaPore for the respondents.
Thank you, Attorney LaPore. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0213, Jock Parento versus Mayor, City of New London, et al. Is Mr. Parento there, please?
Brian Eastep, on behalf of the City of New London, would like to be heard on this matter, please.
We'll mark that ready, Attorney Eastep. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0272, Audrey Felson versus Chief Police Department, City of Bridgeport, et al. Is Ms. Felson there, please? Is there anybody there from the City of Bridgeport? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, the complainant had failed to appear. It was dismissed. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Mr. Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fuseschi.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0281, John and Anita Lucas versus Chair, Planning Commission, Town of Marlborough, et al. Are John and Anita Lucas here, please? Is there anyone here from the Town of Marlborough?
Ken Slater, representing the Town of Marlborough.
Would you like to be heard, or would you like us to act?
I prefer that you act.
Thank you. Thank you, Attorney Slater. I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was a dismissal. Seeing that the complainant is not here, there's no objection to the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0299, Greg and Jen Haythorne versus Board of Education, Town of Weston, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter, or Greg or Jean Haythorne here? Anyone here from the Town of Weston?
Attorney Julie Jakeries on behalf of the respondent, Board of Education.
Would you like to be heard, or would you like us to act?
Act, please.
Okay, thank you, Attorney Jakeley. I entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, seeing that there's no objection to the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fizeshi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0319. William Crane versus Town Clerk, Town of Berlin, and Town of Berlin. Is William Crane there, please? Is there anyone here from the Town of Berlin?
Good afternoon. Jeff D'Onofrio, attorney for the Sun.
Jeff D'Onofrio? Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, we do have an amendment on this as we received a withdrawal, I believe, from the complainant.
And yes.
I think Attorney Hurley went through the file.
Is it in the file?
This was handled by Attorney Jen Miller, who's not here, but.
So we did get, for the record, Attorney Harmon, counsel to the commission. I was counsel to the hearing officer in this case, and we did receive a withdrawal. So what I would suggest is that we amend this report. We leave the first paragraph and that we strike the rest, and then the amendment that I would offer after the first paragraph would be, on September 30th, 2022, the hearing officer issued a report of hearing officer by email correspondence dated December 13th, 2022, and filed December 14th, 2022. The complainant withdrew his request. The commission takes administrative notice of the complainant's withdrawal, and then the order that would be with this amended report would say, based on the withdrawal of the complaint, the case is hereby dismissed. So that would be my suggested amendment.
Counsel, do you wish to be heard?
No, the respondents concur with the suggested amendment.
Okay, thank you. So I entertain a motion regarding the amendment first, and then the motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move that we amend the hearing officer's report in order for the request and the language that the council commission presented on behalf of the hearing officer.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion on the amendment? So all those in favor of the amendment, I'm going to take a roll call. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fizeshi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. The amendment passes unanimously.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter again. I will move an adoption of the amended hearing officer's request report with no objection of the respondent.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion on the decision as amended? Hearing none, I'm going to take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fizeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan? Yes. Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on. Docket number FIC 2022-0091, Leah Cantor versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Consumer Protection, et al. Is Leah Cantor there, please? Is anyone there from the state of Connecticut?
Afternoon, Kim McGee on behalf of DCP.
Attorney Kim McGee?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, thank you.
You wish to be heard, Ms. McGee?
Yes, please, very briefly.
So we'll mark that ready. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0095, Mark Wozar versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department Department of Children and Families et al. Is Mark Wozar there, please? Is there anyone there from the state of Connecticut regarding the Department of Children and Families?
Yes, Attorney Charlotte Shea for the respondent, Department of Children and Families.
Attorney Charlotte, say it again.
Shea, S-H-E-A.
Got it, thank you. Do you wish to be heard?
No, we can just take action.
All right, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, seeing that the complainant's not here and there's no objection to the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Next, docket number FIC 2022-0129, James Hadadin and the Connecticut Public and the Connecticut Public versus Mayor, City of Bridgeport et al. Is Mr. Hadadin there, please? Is anyone there from the City of Bridgeport? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is a dismissal, seeing neither the complainant or respondent are here. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is FIC 2022-0148. Laurel and Timothy Draper versus First Selectman, Town of Bethel.
Mr. Chairman, 130.
Excuse me. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0130, M.L. Nestle versus Chief Police Department, City of Fairfield et al. Is there anyone there on that matter? Yes, sir.
Officer Jenkins, representative of the respondent.
Would you like to be heard?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, officer. All right, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, officer. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0148, Laurel and Timothy Draper versus First Selectman, Town of Bethel, Chair, Planning and Zoning Commission, Town of Bethel, Planning and Zoning Commission, Town of Bethel, and Town of Bethel. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Laurel Draper.
Would you like to be heard?
No, please act.
Thank you. Is there anyone here from the Town of Bethel? All right, with that, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, seeing the complainant has no objection to the report and the respondents are not here, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0187, John Cavanna versus Chief Police Department, Town of Berlin et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? Is John Cavanna there, please? Is there anyone here from the Town of Berlin?
Jeff D'Onofrio representing the respondents.
Would you like to be heard, Attorney D'Onofrio?
No, please act.
I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, seeing that the complainant is not here and there's no objection to the respondent, and it was a dismissal, I move adoption of the hearing officer.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan. Yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel. Did Before we consider these cases, I will ask the Executive Director, Colleen Murphy, to please make the usual announcements.
Sure. As the chairman indicated, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety, so there's no need to ask us to record your matter. And we will make the recording available on our website soon after our meeting. And in accordance with our regulations, oral argument here is limited to 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
All right. So we'll call the first matter at docket number FIC 2020-0597, Jan Golic versus Christopher W. Schutte, Chief Police Department, City of New Britain. Are you there, Mr. Golic?
Yes, Mr. Commissioner, and I thank you, Mr. Egan.
Thank you.
May I proceed?
1 second. Counsel, will you identify yourself?
John Dykin, representing each of the respondents.
Thank you. Yes, you may, Mr. Golic.
Okay, good afternoon, Commissioner. My name is Jan Golic, and I'm an incarcerated individual at Cheshire, and I requested from the New Britain Police Department under case number 11-3571, pertinent documents that are related to my criminal case, and they responded with 151 pages. They requested 50 cents per page and $75.50 per page. And I put in for a waiver with them, and because I am indigent, I am a qualified individual disabled under the Social Security Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act. Upon requesting from the respondent, the waiver was denied. The plaintiff's fee waivers were on the ground the complaint was not indigent according to the poverty level. The United States Supreme Court stated that the Supremacy Clause preempts any municipal and state legislation, executive branch, pretty much is the law of the land. And I was denied on the basis and discriminated on my disability for indigency. At the hearing, I testified that the state police took documents. And at the hearing, there was further defended that I was not indigent at the time. And that the policy based on poverty level was reiterated by the complainant, not indigent. And the Connecticut New Britain Police Department, they ended up requesting from the Department of Corrections, where it was on a footnote by this Kathleen Ross, that the respondents offered no explanation as to why initially they contacted the DOC about the complainant's indigency status under DOC standards. The DOC standards do not apply to municipal. You have the state government and you have municipal government. They do not, they're not supposed to concur with each other. And the information that I required was due to my indigency. According to it was concluded by the Kathleen Ross that there was no copies withheld and that I am not indigent. Under Connecticut General Statutes 52-259, waiver of fees for indigent party, which is stating a Connecticut General Statute 52-259, there shall be a rebuttable presumption that a person is indigent because I am disabled. That's Connecticut law. And then property that was in my inmate trust under Connecticut General Statute 52-35B, exempt property, Section E, health and disability insurance benefits, or and Section G, workers' compensation and Social Security benefits. Under two Connecticut statutes, I am indigent. Two judges in the state of Connecticut under New Haven docket, CB19-504-4843, Judge Young, he ruled that he used the same statute, 52-259B, and this is what the judge says. There is a presumption of indigency based on income under 252-259B, and Social Security disability payments constitute an asset within the scope of 252-259B, Section 2. This is consistent with the ruling that also Judge Lazaro in another case where the state of Connecticut unsuccessfully sought the funds and reimbursement of the cost of incarceration under case CV 503-9424, Judicial District of Hartford. And when the defendants tried to do vacate the waivers, it was denied by the judge. And then this was Judge Nazaro under the case HHD CV 15-503-9424. The following order is the defendant has moved to accept funds claiming that they derived from the Social Security Administration, Department of Health and Human Services, amount of disability. The defendants claim that they are exempt under Connecticut General Statute 52-3352. This is the court finds that the defendant was determined to be disabled by the Health and Services on June 26, 2009, in the decision by Administrative Social Security Law Judge. The defendant was ordered to be paid disability payments Air Force have written on their decision. The court finds that the funds deposited do not lose their status of exemption due to they are submitted by third parties, where my parties were giving my Social Security money to my inmate trust fund. This occurred here. The funds do not lose their exempt status. The judge Nazar ruled as in Judicial District of Hartford tax warrant and regarding Kremlin and Porter and casualty and life. The defendant, which is me, has established the money at issue here is exempt pursuant to Connecticut General Statute, and I am disabled. And Ms. Kathleen Ross, that was a hearing officer, she did not take this into consideration. And this individual, as me being disabled, any monies that are in my inmate trust fund, which are sent in by third parties, are Social Security disability income, which preempts all state and municipal indigency status. The Supremacy Clause of the United States preempts everything off state. And at this point, I was being discriminated against by the Department, New Britain Police Department, by them filing and asking the Connecticut Department of Corrections for their viewpoint on my indigency status. And my Kathleen Ross spoke over here, and she, like I said, the responders offered no explanation as to why initially they contacted the UC about the complainant's indigency status under DOC standards, which they should have known once they did that. And the poverty level does not matter if the poverty level is 18 grand or 8 grand. My Social Security disability benefits preempt, and it's under the Supremacy Clause, and I should not have to pay for these copies due to my indigency. Thank you, Mr. Stevens.
Thank you. Council?
Just like to refer the commission to the following. Paragraph 4 states the respondents denied the complainant's fee waiver request on the ground that the complainant was not indigent according to the United States Federal Poverty Level Chart for the calendar year 2020. Paragraph 13, the respondent's second sentence, the respondents clarified at the hearing that their indigency policy is based on the federal poverty level and reiterated that, the complainant was not indigent under that standard. Then paragraph 18, indicating hearing officer found that the complainant was not, quote, indigent at the time of the request and that the respondents were not required to waive the statutory fee. And additionally, paragraph 17 indicates that there's no evidence that the respondents applied their indigency policy in a discriminatory way. So I'd ask the commission to adopt the hearing officer's report and dismiss the complaint.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions?
No, just Commissioner Hankins. I mean, the complaint said that it's a rebuttable presumption of indigency, and the respondent's evidence overcame this presumption. So I would concur with the hearing officer.
Thank you.
Yes.
I concur with the hearing officer and my amendment. As a footnote, a little bit concerned that this question of what is the appropriate indigency standard, all our previous rulings go back to 2007. It's a long time. So at some point, it might be ripe to look at. I know that the state agency picked the same one. I mean, the police department picked it. They have the right to pick it. But it does strike me. I haven't been here long enough. Maybe you have looked at it since. But that the time might be right sometime to look at this question as to what is the right standard.
Thank you. Anything further? Commissioner Einhorn?
No further questions.
Okay. All right. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fizeshi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you, Mr. Golic.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
So we move to the next one, docket number FIC 2021-0345, Jan Golic versus Angel Quiris, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Mr. Golic, you're still there, correct?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay. Counsel, will you identify yourself for the record, please?
Sure. Attorney Lepore, L-E-P-O-R-E, for the respondents.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Golic, would you like to begin?
Yes, sir. Can I commence?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, this is Docket 20-210345. This was documents I requested since from the COVID time when it kicked in at March 2020. A lot has changed, and today we're already here in February of 2023. And the following restrictions, pretty much, the governor on May 19th, 2021, rescinded all the restrictions for outdoor. And right now, the Connecticut Department of Corrections is running on normal operations. They have school, they have contact visits, they have contact visits with attorney, they have bring 10 inmates in the van, bring it to court trips, they got UConn medical trips, return, I would say seven guys. They have volunteers, religious, and all these other programs running. They have substance abuse programs. They have a library. They have gym programs, which gentlemen are left and right. And my question was back then in the day that I request, because they had restrictions, it was a phase one, two, and three, which has been rescinded, on suspension of funeral and hospital visits and reinstatement of funeral hospital visits for inmates with deceased and infirm family members. Right now, they're running everything normal, the Department of Corrections, but they will not give us, the Department of Corrections, incarcerated individuals the dignity and respect to see their loved ones for the last time at a funeral visit, which is only the inmate, the funeral director, and two correctional officers. But they could run programs, they could have groups of 50 to 100 guys, like in our block, we have hundreds of guys, they all went to the gym. We're like 1 feet apart. And since then, they said that they haven't had no change in the documentation. Now today in 2023, with all these now no restrictions, they won't even allow people to see somebody at the deathbed for the last time. There's a document that they use for, it's called in-community release. I should have brought one. I could have given a number of it, which allows a human being to go see their loved ones when they got terminal cancer. And so basically the Department of Corrections are using the COVID-19 excuse, saying you can't go because it's because of COVID-19 to go to last respects for deathbed and last respects for the funeral business. But everything else is running normal. I think it's very prejudicial by the Department of Corrections. And
so, Mr. Golic, excuse me, Mr. Golic, with regard to your request for records and that only, do you have anything to say?
Yes,
it's okay. Well, that's what we're here to address. Your request for records.
It says that the FOI administrator gave me some responsive records on June 1st. Of 220, and I never received them, anything from that last time. I never received any records of anything that shows that it was rescinded or resumed again or nothing like that. And that's it, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Attorney Lepore, could you just answer that question? Were records sent to this individual?
Yes, he did receive some records, although, as you'll see in the hearing officer's report, due to a clerical error, they were received late. Basically, one counselor thought they sent it, checked their email, realized that they didn't actually send or print them out. But he did eventually receive them, and I believe that was discussed at the hearing as well.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No.
Did they resend them, Your Honor?
Hold on a second. I'm going to let Attorney Lepore make her presentation. Go ahead.
Thank you. I would urge adoption of the hearing officer's report. There are two reasons identified as to why this complaint should be dismissed. The first reason is that it was not yet ripe for consideration because the department did not receive the initial FOI request until the date that we received the notice of complaint from this commission. However, despite that, we did do a search for records and provided him what we found, which was a memo from our former Commissioner Cook regarding the rescission of the funeral visits during the pandemic. And we've done a thorough search, and he received everything that we had at the time that he made the request. So as such, there's no violation of the Freedom of Information Act, and I would urge adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Thank you. He made a request. He said, could you resend those records that I guess were previously sent?
Sure. shouldn't be a problem, I believe. Yes, I still have them.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Sure. Do any of the other commissioners have any questions?
No, sir.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Attorney LaFleur. Thank you, Mr. Golic.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir, and I'm going to hang up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Moving right along. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0213, Jack Parento versus Mayor, City of New London, et al. Is Mr. Parento there, please? So, counsel, please identify yourself for the record.
Attorney Brian Estep on behalf of the respondents.
Thank you, Attorney Estep. Mr. Parento isn't here, so would you like to begin?
I would, thank you. First off, we don't object to the law as outlined in the hearing officer's report. We agree that that is the current state of the law in Connecticut regarding both attorney-client privilege and release of records regarding pending claims, strategy, and negotiations. Our objection is to the application of the law to the specific items redacted. The city turned over all of the bills requested regarding the hiring of an outside law firm to do an investigation and only redacted three items. Now, obviously, it's hard for me to talk about the three items because they were redacted. But one of the items specifically listed a matter which was being discussed with this law firm, which I think falls under the attorney-client privilege as to the motive for the client seeking representation from them. The other two items that were removed dealt with strategy regarding the claim that was being investigated in those circumstances. I mean, I won't talk too much out of school, but one of them specifically says strategy as part of what was redacted, and that's the only part that I'll mention on that. So we feel that the items that were redacted fall clearly within the exemptions under those two circumstances.
Any questions?
I have a question. I wonder if Attorney McGee could respond to that item referring to strategy.
Sure. Danielle McGee, for the record, I was the hearing officer in this matter. Since Attorney Estep raised that specifically, I think I feel a little more comfortable commenting on it. The strategy, there is no description or memorialization of strategy in that billing entry. It purely says strategy. And I don't think that the fact that counsel confers with client about strategy, the strategy itself is what's privileged. Whatever was discussed, that the substance of that conversation is what's privileged. But the fact that you had a conversation about strategy, I don't think falls within the exemption, which would require disclosure of the actual strategy being discussed. I think that would be what is withheld under the exemption. With respect to Attorney Estep's comment about one of the entries discussing a particular matter, I think that's a little more specific than what's in the bill. It's, I think, much more broad than that. I think I feel comfortable saying it's a topic generally, but not a particular case, a particular docket number. Just sort of generally a topic that could encompass many matters. And then attorneys have also mentioned that he believed that disclosure of that information in the billing entry would disclose the motivation behind retention of counsel. That wasn't raised at the hearing. I don't have any evidence to support that. And in reviewing that entry on its face, I don't see how that connection can really be made. I do have the records in camera if any of the commissioners would like to review them. And I did, as an abundance of caution, ask Attorney Murphy to take a look at those in-camera records and see if she had any concerns about anything that I was ordering disclosed. I don't know if there's anything Attorney Murphy would like to add.
Well, we're only talking about a few words, literally, right?
Yes, and I would say I would agree with Attorney Eastep. The respondents did turn over several pages of billing entries and made very few redactions, but I just don't agree that the redactions that were made fall within the scope of either of the exemptions that were claimed.
Attorney Eastep?
Only on the one strategy. I mean, we obviously both said that the word strategy was used, but it said strategy, and then it further went on, strategy regarding a specific item in those circumstances. So that's the concern that we have with that one in particular. The other ones, I think, fall, the other one, as I said, I think falls into the act seeking that the reason for seeking representation. If you look at some of the other bills, it's sort of, that were turned over, it sort of goes a little more into that as to why. And in each of these cases, it was the law firm speaking to the law director of the City of New London in the conversations with it, which I think even raises it to a higher level, that it's the law director's office of the city talking to the law firm that's being retained to do the investigation in these circumstances. I realize it's a limited number and, you know, it's not a lot, but it's just an ongoing concern because this is not the first, nor I'm sure will be the last attorney's bills that we will be seeking in these circumstances. That's our concerns with that.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Streeter, perhaps, we could pass this, take up the last other docket member, and then maybe take a look at these.
I want to see the records in.
Oh, okay. You want to take a break right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there just one other item?
Yeah, there's just one of the only one they can see here. Leah Cantor case. Mark, ready?
Why don't we do that? We'll take Commissioner Streeter's recommendation. We'll just pass this. Now, I would like to see the in-camera records so you can prepare them. I think the other commissioners would as well.
Certainly.
And then we can come back and address this matter. All right, so we're going to pass that matter. We're going to move on to FIC 2022-0091, Leah Cantor versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut Department of Consumer Protection, et al. Is anyone else here? I see Ms. Cantor here, correct?
No, I represent DCP.
I apologize.
It's Ms. Okay.
McGee, Attorney McGee, right?
Yes.
And Leah Cantor is not here. You don't see her.
Attorney. Not to my knowledge.
Okay. All right, Attorney McGee, would you like to begin?
Yes, please. Your Honor, for the lion's share of the proposed decision, we take no issue with the language. We do want to bring to the Commission's attention paragraph 16 for the following reason. Paragraph 16 seems to require a standard. It puts an obligation on the DCP that the statute does not seem to require. Specifically, the paragraph indicates that DCP is in violation of the statute because DCP did not provide sufficient proof that they mailed copies or provided copies in question to the petitioner. In fact, it's our position that mailing the copies are sufficient as opposed to a green card or something along those lines. We filed a notice of compliance dated January 6th that, in fact, reflects the fact that the copies were sent to Ms. Cantor, and there's a certificate of service signed by me in compliance with Superior Court rules. It's our understanding through the regs, through the FOIA regs, that service is effective. Within the context of FOIA, if you comply with the Superior Court rules, and it's our position that we did.
So you would like us to amend paragraph 16, which provides for a violation?
Yes, please.
Is Paula here? Thanks, Paula.
Paula Powell, I'm the hearing officer in this matter.
Attorney Hayes correct that she did mail in a notice of compliance where at the end she certified that some records were sent to the complainant. However, I didn't consider that to be evidence. It wasn't in a form an affidavit, didn't ask or request that it be marked as an after file exhibit. So I didn't consider that to be evidence, and that's why I couldn't make that finding, that in fact they had been provided to the complainant. And I also note that the records to which I refer to in paragraph 16 include email header information, and that email header information was not part of that notice of compliance. So even if we were to find that the respondents provided the complainant with those additional records, based on what they submitted in their notice of compliance, that notice of compliance didn't refer to the email header information. So I don't know whether or not that information has been provided to the complainant. There's no evidence of that.
Attorney McGee.
Respectfully, we'd suggest that an affidavit or that kind of evidence is not required given the fact that FOIA follows the rules of the Superior Court. I represent the Department of Consumer Protection, and I've alleged in a filing with FOIA that a notice of compliance reflects the fact that the documents in question were in fact sent. And just to err on the side of caution, we weren't sure whether Ms. Cantor lived at one or another address. So to be safe, we sent them to both. So we do take the obligation seriously and assert that we did comply with it.
But again, even if you were to find that some of the records were provided based on the notice of compliance, the email header information was not part of what was in that notice of compliance.
Attorney McGee, was the email header information included?
I'm not sure if I understand this allusion. What I can say is at some point during this case, DCP decided to withdraw its claim that email headings should be redacted. We communicated the same to the hearing officer, and as a part of our compliance, we mailed copies of redacted versions of the documents in question, but we unredacted, if you will, the email headings, but the bodies of the emails were redacted or continued to be redacted.
I think the certification from counsel of record that this was sent is pretty significant. So I don't know how you want to handle it, but I don't feel comfortable with this paragraph 16.
Well, that's one thing. I mean, Attorney McGee signed it as the Commissioner of Superior Court, I take it. So, you know, that's entitled to weight. And the second thing is that, you know, if it's sent by regular mail, it's a rebuttable presumption that the intended recipient actually received it, if there's evidence to the contrary. That's the second time I use rebuttable presumption.
Excellent use of it.
Thank you. And the correct use of
it. I don't know how the other commissioners feel.
I just, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but I think that usually I say that if you have an affidavit, that's the way to go. And I don't know, you know, being a clerk of the court, because I'm not a lawyer, how that way is different than having a signed affidavit.
Well, I suppose we could reopen it and let the affidavit be filed. But it sounds like Attorney Perlman wants to say something.
No, I
was just asking if there was an expiration on this. We do have time. I think that's a better course. As you know, we operate on an evidentiary basis, and, you know, people send us communications all of the time and casting those aspersions on Attorney McGee. But if we were to do that in every instance, it could probably be problematic for us. So if we have an opportunity, perhaps an affidavit could be submitted as an after file exhibit. We could go from there.
Do we have
any time on it?
Looks like there's time.
So do we need to move to reopen it?
I'm just saying, February 22nd. Yeah. It's special.
Two weeks.
But it has to next week. No, we have to have a special. Right, we don't have time. Our next meeting is on the date that this would expire.
And yeah, I'm going to repeat myself, but I understand that Attorney McGee indicated that records have been provided without that header information redacted. But again, she's asking the commission to accept the fact that she's certified. There was a certification on the notice of compliance, but that information, there's nothing in the notice of compliance regarding the email header information. So even if we were to amend that paragraph, there'd still be a violation because there's nothing.
Except she's represented that they've gone back to giving those headers.
Here today.
Yes. No representation here today.
Well, she was equivocal about whether or not it was the header information. I mean, she's being as honest as possible. You know, so, you know, I mean, it could be a small violation based on not knowing that one aspect, I guess. I mean, it's only a guess. And if Attorney McGee went, we can't provisionally prove something based on an exhibit, after filed exhibit that you know that's going to be filed. Right. You can't do that. That's kind of Looney Tunes, I guess.
I agree with the hearing officer's report. I understand the issues here, but this is not a major slap on the wrist. At the time I've been here, I don't remember the Department of Commission. Consumer Protection being here, I don't think they're an office of the state that's, you know, continues to flaunt or tries to avoid back and stuff for the representation from Attorney McGee is that they're doing their best to try to, you know, follow the FOI. So I mean, in this case, I don't think this is.
But they've sent counsel. The other side didn't show up. It's clearly a serious issue for them, and they don't want that. So
I'm sorry, I have one other point, one here ready.
Go ahead.
So this notice of compliance was created pursuant to an order that we received post-hearing from the hearing officer. So what I'm saying is that there was no hearing for us to either put on our client. There was an indication within that order that we complied with that an affidavit needed to be provided, and we provided it regarding people's job descriptions because they were looking at whether or not things were protected by attorney-client privilege or counsel communications. There was no indication in the order that another affidavit was required. I certainly understand the argument, and I understand the hearing officer's position, but in this case, I would say that the Superior Court rules are sufficient in that attorneys can mail things to opposing counsel or the self-represented party, and that's what we did.
Yeah, and it's an evidentiary hearing process, different from just, you know, somebody certifying that they sent something. Things have to be admitted as facts or, you know, written material. So, perhaps there's a way we could just allow the hearing officer to take the matter back just during the course of our hearing and put in a little language that might soften this in some way.
I'd be more than happy to comply.
Can I just add just a couple more things? So, as you know, all evidence needs to get into the record at the time of the hearing. And, you know, this is new information that was submitted after the hearing. But for the fact that I issued an order, I would not have gotten that information. What the attorney is speaking to today, except for the fact that, like I said, she was responding to one of my orders because I was missing a lot of, there were in-cameras missing. It was unclear what was in the in-camera, so I asked for additional information. That's what this, so I've given them an opportunity. They've had a chance. I had a second hearing because they didn't come prepared at the first hearing to provide testimony on the attorney-client privilege claim that they were making.
I don't think it's on the hearing officer to explicitly state in an order, please provide me with an affidavit. I mean, it is their burden. So if they wanted me to consider what they stated in the notice of compliance as fact, then they could have asked to submit, you know, to submit an after filed exhibit, to submit an affidavit. I don't think it's on the hearing officer to, you know, make their case. But I know Attorney Murphy was saying I can go back and, you know, if we take recess, I can,
okay,
just, I can do something,
just
but I'm not sure.
Maybe put a little more descriptive language in to describe the circumstances a little bit, that's all. But it'll help. But
I'd also like the record to reflect that maybe another part of this puzzle is that the petitioner didn't appear for the hearing, so that there was no position lodged, if you will, on behalf of Ms. Cantor, and that puts the hearing officer in a difficult position. So I'm acknowledging that as well, but certainly we do take exception with the fact that we violated the statute.
Petitioner didn't show for two hearings?
Just the second hearing. Oh, pardon me. I came into the case in the second hearing. So there was a first hearing, and then several months later, it was rescheduled.
And the petitioner showed for the first hearing?
The first hearing was conducted remotely. Okay. So the petitioner was on for that first hearing. The second was in person, and she did not appear for the second hearing. I continued the first hearing because, as I said, they had claimed some of the information was exempt from disclosure. As Attorney McGee stated, she wasn't at the first hearing. A representative from the Department of Consumer Protection that appeared, and to give them an opportunity to present evidence on the claimed exemption, I continued the hearing, and it was at that continued hearing that the complainant didn't show.
I have one question.
Yes.
Attorney McGee, I'm trying to find out, which sentence in the hearing officer's report your objection. Is it the last sentence of paragraph 16? Is it the second point of her findings? Which one of those two is that, if I'm hearing you correctly, that you're objecting to?
I guess both. Definitely the former, in the last sentence, it indicates that there was a violation, but the reasoning for the violation comes right before it and indicates that there is no proof that the petitioner received the copies.
If that sentence that had violated the statute was not there, would you feel different?
Yes, we would.
And otherwise leave the hearing officer's report as is?
Yes.
You can't issue an order without finding a violation, so that's what you've got here. You've got a finding that there's a violation and then issuing an order.
So you have to make a specific reference to that statutory?
Find some level of violation in order to initiate a
I take your point, and I have not found the solution.
We've got a couple of cases where there was no order given. I guess that wouldn't be like this.
That's in an instance, though, where you've found a violation but determined that for whatever reason, no order is warranted. The records were already provided. You had evidence of that.
It's like a seamless web, huh?
Right. What about simply removing that clause about there's no evidence indicating that the records were actually received, and just letting it stand on the complainant didn't tell us she was withdrawing. Still an active matter, and then finding the conclusion. Excuse me.
I think our position is clear. I don't want to beat a dead horse.
Well, we're going to take a break. There's a recess from this. We'll go back to the other one, and then we can work on some other language. Right, thank you. I'm not sure it's going to do anything, but we'll see.
And the person was going to take a look.
Oh, yeah.
The camera
records, yes.
Record, so
we'll take a break.
Okay.
Okay, so Attorney McGee has
two at a time, sure.
Those.
Yeah, like, animals 2x2.
All right. This is my favorite animal.
All right, let's go, big guy.